Music City, Nashville, Tennessee.
Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
Detail.
You know, he can't be bothered with putting us on the air because the Packers just scored.
What happens when you got a cheesehead in the house.
Why do we have shows during playoffs? Hey, friends, welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. As you probably have figured out by now, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just want to figure it out here in Music City.
That's right. And we don't know a thing.
Yeah, don't look at us.
10 years in this, and we still are incredibly...
Exactly.
What we are good at doing is bringing brilliant, talented people in and giving them the opportunity to share their stories, and we get to pick their brains and give you the opportunity to join in the conversation as well.
That is so true, and you can do that by jumping on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. You can like us, chime in with your questions and comments right there, or you can also hit us up on Twitter or email us directly at mail@TheMusicRowShow.com. The conversation just started, so jump on in. We got a great show tonight. We got songwriter, guitarist, recording artist, producer, and founding member of Blackie and the Rodeo Kings. He's going to be visiting with us here in the first hour. We got Colin Linden joining us.
That's right, and then hit songwriter, recording artist, and queen of country soul, Jeannie Seely, is going to be here in hour two to discuss her career and her brand new album, which is killer.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Now, but first, before we go too far, we got an announcement that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, about a change that we're making to our show starting this month, starting next week, actually.
That's right. We're going topless.
And that's the end of our show right there.
Right.
We're committed to bringing hit writers and producers and recording artists, people like we've got tonight, industry leaders to the show for you. But once a month, we're going to change it up a little bit, and we're going to shine the spotlight on the local songwriters here in town.
That's right. Yeah, one full show each month. We're going to be spinning songs from and visiting with the characters that we see all the time at the songwriter nights and the networking events and the song pitches, our fellow hitless wonders. You know, over the years, we've gotten to know so many amazing writers that just haven't had that big break yet.
That's true.
And we're just going to make sure that the world gets to hear them right here on The Legend on 650 AM WSM.
Nice.
And our first showcase is next Sunday. And what we're doing is, I'm picking a writer, and you're picking a writer for each hour.
Right.
And we're going to bring them in. We're going to play a couple songs from their CDs and let them play a song and visit with them. And
is it okay to pick myself?
No.
No,
that is not okay.
Dang it, with the rules.
Okay.
The rules.
That is not okay. That is so not okay.
All right. You know what would be okay is if you'd introduce our guest here.
All right. After 10 years of doing this show, it's always such a pleasure when I start researching a guest, And they become my new favorite, and that's what's happened in the last couple of weeks. Colin, Colin has had a 45-year musical career that started when he was 11 years old, and made friends with the legendary Howlin' Wolf.
Wow!
And from there, he has made music with everyone from Robert Plant, Bruce Coburn, Keb Mo, Bob Dylan, Emmylou Harris, Alison Krauss, Sarah Watkins. I could literally spend the entire show reading this list.
Yeah,
truly. I mean, I could do the whole hour just naming them off. 21 years ago, he started a little band called Blackie and the Rodeo Kings as just kind of for a little one-off project. And they're still going strong with their latest album, Kings and Kings, which releases today as a companion piece to 2011's Kings and Queens. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about all these other things. It's such a pleasure to say Juno Award-winning musician, singer, producer, Colin Linden. We're glad you're here, man. Welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you so much, fellas.
Yeah.
It's really great to be here. It's always great to be on WSM. I mean, it's the novelty of that will never wear off.
It does. Every week I get excited.
Yeah, I guess probably people who listen get a little bored of hearing all the guests say that. It's sort of like when you play the Ryman. everybody who plays there is sort of blown away by the history of the room. It's kind of like that with this station too. You know?
Yeah.
So it's great to be with you on a Sunday evening.
Nice.
Thanks. So when did you figure out that the music bug bit you?
I think I was about three.
Three.
I guess I was maybe three or four. And I think that it had already bit me even by that point.
Wow.
But you know how sometimes you get to a certain stage in your life after many years of development where you feel like you just can't resist anymore. You have to do it. And when I was four, I was already at the point where I couldn't resist. I had heard somebody lip syncing a version of Johnny Rivers' version of Maybelline.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think I might have said that wrong. I heard somebody lip syncing Johnny Rivers' version of Maybelline. I think I could have lost one word. For you songwriters out there, yeah. I
didn't economize.
He's editing as you speak.
I wish I could do it a little better in life. But it's also sometimes not good to edit yourself that much. So I heard somebody lip syncing Johnny Rivers' version of Maybelline, the great Chuck Berry song, mm-hmm. on a television show called The Lloyd Thaxton Show, uh-huh. which was. This was, I think it must have been 1964. I don't remember if it was before I turned four or after I turned four. And I thought, that is for me. That is the greatest thing I ever heard. And from then, there was no turning back. Although I realized that even before that, I listened to Johnny Cash, Buddy Holly, the Everly Brothers, Roy Orbison, Rick Nelson had a huge impact on me. Really, as far back as I can remember. And then when I was 8 o'clock, no, when I was 8 years old.
I remember that.
when I was 8 years old, I begged my mom to take me to see Jimi Hendrix play. And my brothers and I and my mom went to see Jimi Hendrix at the Singer Bowl Auditorium in Flushing, New York, wow. August 23rd, 1968. And that just dug me in further. And then finally, I heard about Howlin' Wolf mm-hmm. From a friend of my brother's and, said, look, if you like all of this rock music, you know, if you like Cream and the Doors and, the Rolling Stones, you want to hear where it really came from. And he played me some Howlin' Wolf and it changed my life. It made me realize that music had come from somewhere and that sometimes the place that it comes from, it is just really heavy. That's the real stuff. It gave me that first sense of
deep well.
Discovering that it really came from somewhere. And he sounded so much more serious and so heavy, I could tell. Mm-hmm. And then, as fate would have it, literally about 2.5 months later, he came to Toronto, where I was living at that point, and I begged my mom to take me to see him at a matinee.
Coolest mom ever.
Oh, I had the coolest mom ever, no doubt about it. And I got there 3 hours early because I wanted to make sure I could get in.
To the Colonial
Tavern in Toronto. I've talked about this so many times. I forget sometimes to include pertinent details. But they had a balcony that was licensed as a restaurant so minors could get in.
Ah.
And even though we're talking about Howlin' Wolf, back then, I mean, these guys, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, a lot of the great blues guys, were just working musicians who were playing six nights a week and a matinee on Saturday. So I begged my mom to take me to the matinee. Mm-hmm. And I got there 3 hours early to make sure I'd get in. And Wolf was there finishing his lunch. And he was just going to hang out for the afternoon. So I walked through the balcony. There was a set of stairs that led right to the stage. And he was sitting at a table right next to the stage, right by the stairs. So I snuck down the stairs immediately, walked up to him and said, Mr. Wolf, you're my hero. Would you come upstairs and talk with me? I'm only 11 and they won't really let me downstairs. And he said, sure.
Wow.
So I spent the afternoon talking with him. And that was November 27th, 1971. And from then until he passed, every time he came to Toronto, he always took time for me. And he was really, really great.
That is an amazing story. I love that.
So I want to spend a little bit more time on that story. So he comes upstairs, and what are you asking him? What do you guys talk about? What is it that that he shares with you that helps you down the road?
Well, I mean, there were a lot of things. The first thing was, remember, at this point, he had just made a record called the Howlin' Wolf London Sessions with Eric Clapton, Steve Winwood, Charlie Watts, Bill Wyman. And it was a kind of a big deal.
Right.
And those were all people who I knew. So I asked about the record, how he... I knew that he influenced them. I wanted to find out how he liked them, what he thought of them. And that sort of opened the dialogue where, you know, he was asking me about what was interesting to me. And I asked him where he learned, who taught him. And he said, well, when I was a boy, I used to love Charlie Patton. And I had read about Charlie Patton in the few weeks before because I tried to read everything I possibly could about Wolf. And Charlie Patton's name came up. And Wolf said to me, you want to learn the way that I play, listen to the people I listen to. And that was sort of a basic tenet for me in my life, the idea that you go backwards in order to go forwards. Right. You look backwards in order to do something of your own forwards and to understand the context that all this comes in.
Yeah.
And he was very aware that he was talking to a kid, but he was also aware that he was talking to someone who I think he felt some kinship with.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, no matter who you play for, you have to play, you got to give it everything you have. If there's three people or if there are 1,000 people, there are 3 people or 3,000 people, he said to me, you got to play with your very, very best. He said, it doesn't matter if they're black, white, Puerto Rican, you got to give them, and that's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
You got to give them everything you have. And he was very serious about that. And he said to me, I'm an old man, and I'm not going to be around for much longer, so it's up to you to carry it on. And I know that he was talking about my generation, but I took that very, very personally.
He was talking to me. It's your job now.
Yeah.
And I promised him that I would. And, you know, 45 years later, I'm doing my best. I'm trying.
That's awesome.
I think in some ways the best thing that we can do is to try and make our heroes, make the ancestors proud somehow or other. So that's always in my mind when I'm making music.
Well, most blues songs, most the subject matter of most blues songs is kind of on the grown-up side. So how did you relate to that at such a young age, and, you know, being as, you know, kind of more adult themes?
In some ways they were, but in other ways it's sort of that music speaks to you at your rawest emotion. And I think if you're a kid, you can relate to those things so much. I mean, I was a kid who grew up in a broken home, and although I had the greatest childhood I could ever have imagined, you feel compassion for other people. I grew up in the suburbs of New York City in the '60s, and I was so aware of what was going on and civil rights and all that, and I related so much to so many of the themes that were sort of the tug at you and give you compassion. So I think that if you have that in your heart, you can relate to the blues so much. And it wasn't like the blues was ever trying to make fun of anybody, you know. And that was one of the things that you're really aware of when you're a kid. Is I was this big fat little kid, and you don't want to be bullied. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want your emotions to be messed with. And those things are themes that are really, really, you know, common in blues and really common in Wolf's music. I mean, I think that he had a sensitivity and just a tenderness in spite of the fact that he was this gigantic.
With a
physical,
voice and with the voice that was just huge.
Yeah. But I think that he was a really sensitive guy in a lot of ways. He was someone who had who felt things very deeply, and in some ways, I don't think it's that uncommon. I mean, we look at even today, there are a lot of people who are drawn to blues artists, young musicians who are drawn to it when they're in their early teens. You know,
well, and I think even younger. I know that, like, thinking of like Little Red Rooster. That has adult connotations, but when you're a kid, I didn't. A lot of the songs that I listened to as a kid didn't. It wasn't until later where I was like, "Oh, I get what they're saying there." But it was fun to listen to and sing as a kid too.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that that's there, but also, I think the way these guys were such great poets, and they had such a beautiful way with the language, even if there was something that was double entendre, there was something kind of, there was humor and there was wit,
mm-hmm.
and there was sort of, you know, mother wit that mm-hmm. that these guys had that were, I mean, to me, that was really evident.
Yeah. We need to take a break. I want to let our listeners know that this segment was brought to you by our friends at Main Street Productions.
Yeah.
They have been doing music videos and feature films now.
Yeah. For like 20 years now.
Yeah, 20 yeah. years. And you know, I did a project with them, and I was just so
that's right
excited with how you were there. You
yes,
were the
I was
star.
There. Yes, I was.
You were the star.
The star, yes. Didn't have my own trailer, though. I was really disappointed by that.
Well,
next time.
Next time. Yeah. I'll get a trailer sure. for you. No, but they produce pop, they produce country, they produce bluegrass music videos. They've won multiple awards for cinematography and editing. And again, like we said, they've done feature films, right?
That's right. They've done feature films. The most recent screening in theaters nationwide, including Times Square in New York and L.A. theaters and all over. And they can typically shoot a performance video in about half a day and a story video in about a whole day, a full day. And they've got all the top equipment, the same thing you would use to shoot a feature film. That's what's being used to shoot your videos and stuff. So.
You're going to be amazed if you come in organized and you come in with a clear picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be done quickly and so economically. I was blown away
yeah,
by
it. And it looks great.
It really does. Yeah. Check
them
out.
Where can we find them on the web there?
MainStreetProductions.org. That's mainstreetproductions.org. Use the contact form to email or give them a call at 516-3076.
All right, we're going to be back with more of Colin Linden here on the Music Row Show, so come on back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Live by the Song off the album Kings and Kings, Blackie and the Rodeo Kings. And we've got Colin Linden here.
Who's founding member of Blackie and the Rodeo Kings.
That's right.
And talk about the album real quick before we get back into your story. But this is a companion piece to something Blackie and the Rodeo Kings did back in 2011.
Yep. We made a record back in 2011. One of the things that we found was that we had befriended a bunch of really great female artists, and mm-hmm. we would occasionally get to play with them or have them on our records, our solo records, our individual things, stuff that we did together, a lot of stuff that I worked on, and came up with the idea to do a record of just duets with female artists, and we called it Kings and Queens. And we were so fortunate. We got Pam Tillis was one of the first we asked. Mm-hmm. Roseanne Cash, Emmylou Harris, Lucinda Williams, Patti Scialfa. It was a truly wonderful record. Sarah Watkins, Sam Phillips, Amy Helm. Cassandra Wilson. I know wow. I'm going to forget a bunch of great people as well who were on that record. It was a beautiful experience. And then we thought we did it. We did an acoustic album that came out about 3 years ago after that called South. And mm-hmm. then we kind of thought, okay, it's time to do another big project. So we thought to do an album called Kings and Kings with a bunch of male artists. And that's the record that's just been released. And we do duets with Rodney Crowell, Eric Church, Keb Moe, Jason Isbell, Raul Malo.
Bruce Coburn.
Bruce Coburn.
Nick Lowe. Yeah.
Nick Lowe. It's a really...
Vince Gill.
Vince Gill, of course.
And yeah. what we just heard, I think that was
Rodney Crowell,
right?
was on that song. And it was a wonderful record to make, too. Really great experience to do.
That's great. Love now, where that. Do people find this album?
I don't know. Are there any record stores left in the world?
I'm not sure. You can find it
in record stores, but you certainly can find it at Amazon.com and all of the usual online dealers.
Right.
And please buy records, because if you buy records, we get to keep making records.
Yep.
And I love the art form of making records, so we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
One of the things on your website, ColinLinden.com.
Uh-huh.
See what
nice.
We did there? Thank you.
So smooth.
I know. Yeah. You talk about an attraction early on to major key melodies over blues grooves.
Yeah.
Can you give us a couple of examples? You got the guitar there, and kind of explain how that pushes you, but what does that mean, a major key melody over a blues
groove?
The
song that I was going to play first actually happens to have that kind of idea.
What a better example than that.
But let me say a couple things, because this show is for people who play, and I'm sure that this is something a lot of people know, but I was always attracted to songs like Mountain of Love, you know? Standing on a mountain looking down at the city. Almost a song, if a country singer was singing it, it'd be a country song. If a blues singer or an R&B singer would sing it, it'd be a blues song. And it would have a great groove, a big groove, but a real pretty melody. So a song, I'm sure that I must have heard Jimmy Reed do Honest I Do when I was a little kid, because that was a hit. It was sort of a mainstream hit, but it was Jimmy Reed. You know that I love you, honest I do.
Yep.
All those kind of sentimental melodies over these low-down grooves. There's something really attractive about that, and I always kind of was drawn to that in a lot of ways. So,
all right, well, before we get going on this, is that other mic turned on, Producer Logan? We good for that? Okay, good. Well, let's hear a song from Colin Linden here.
Okay, should I tell you about this?
Please,
I'll tell you about it a little. This is a song that because this is a Music Row show, I made this song up with a great songwriter, also from Canada, but she's more known as sort of a mainstream writer. She's really great. Her name is Jada Dreyer.
Okay.
And actually, two of the songs on Kings and Kings, I made up with her. I made up this one, and I made up one that we did with Eric Church as well. And this one we did with my great friend Buddy Miller, who is one of the most soulful, fantastic human beings and musicians I've ever met. And I was so thankful he did this. And this is the first time I've done it. And this is a fairly true song. It goes, it's called Playing by Heart. I'm gonna spend all the money I made last night on wine. I give everything I had just to show you another good time. If we're falling off the edge, we might as well be drunk as blind. And if we don't come back, maybe I wouldn't mind. I'm gonna live too fast, love too hard. Long as I'm playing, you know I'll be playing by heart. I'm gonna sing every song the jukebox has ever played. Out of tune, out of time, I'll leave it up to fate. And when the moon shines bright, we'll take the show on the road. Don't need no one to count in. One, two, ready, set, go. I'm gonna live too fast and love too hard. Long as I'm playing, you know I'll be playing by heart. Thank you.
the top of the highest hill. Forgive anybody didn't ever wish me well. And at the end of the day, we'll wind up on solid ground. And we can roll with the tumbleweeds, ain't never been nailed down. I won't live too fast, love too hard. Long as I'm playing, you know I'll be playing by heart. Too hard. Long as I'm playing, you know I'll be playing by heart. No, I'll be playing by heart.
Love that.
Thank you.
Man.
Oh, that was fun.
I was mesmerized watching your hands there. I was like, oh.
I know. I'm sitting there watching the thumb going. And,
yeah.
And now, I know when you were a kid, you played with the flat pick until somebody kind of explained that the bluesmen played with three fingers.
Yep. Yeah. And so I guess, yeah, around the time I was 13, I started playing with my fingers. And I had a few great people show me. Show me a lot. And I just listened to records and practiced all the time. And I still played with a pick some. And then I found the older I've gotten, the less I play with a flat pick.
Really?
Yeah. And I was never that good with one anyhow. So what the heck?
Well, as Scott mentioned in the intro and everything, you've won a lot of Juno Awards in your career.
That's, for those of you who don't know about that, that's Canada's Grammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was born in Canada, and I lived there for a long time.
So I'm just curious how the music listening public or even the music business is different in Canada versus what you'd find here.
Well, the audience is about one-tenth the size,
mm-hmm.
and the country is gigantic. So it means that traveling through, and it's uninhabitable. I only say that in jest, but the weather does contribute to it.
Yeah.
It gets really cold there sometimes. And the audience is wonderful, maybe a little bit more reserved, but in some ways you have a kind of a freedom there to play like you want to play. Maybe what? Because it's sort of it's a little less defined by regions than it is down here. I mean, I always was fascinated with the fact that there would be certain blues guys who would be from a certain area and they would have a certain way of playing.
Chicago blues and Delta blues.
Yeah, but
and
even in a more microcosmic way, there's a little town called Bentonia, Mississippi, where all the guitar players play an open D minor. It's really specific. And from being in Canada, you kind of it's like you're on the outside of the window looking in, and you can take with it what you want. And there's also a sort of a romanticism that you see. I mean, like for me as a kid, hearing about Meetin' Threes,
yeah,
in Nashville, that was the coolest thing. Hearing about barbecue, I was very food oriented, and all of the beautiful. Idiosyncrasies of Southern culture were so fascinating to me. When I was 15, I traveled through the South.
Right.
A friend of mine who was 19 and who could drive, looking to meet as many of the older blues artists who were still alive, some of whom I knew already from when they would come and play in Canada. But I think that, to get back to your question, I was so drawn to this kind of music because there is a certain way of looking at it from one step removed, and that's the biggest difference I think between Canada and the States that way. I was lucky enough to work with the band,
mm-hmm.
my favorite group ever. They encapsulated everything that I loved about rock and roll music, folk music, blues, country, bluegrass, all of it.
All in one big ball.
Yeah. And so many people always asked Robbie Robertson, how can you write about the South so effectively being from Canada? And I think that, I mean, he had a great tour guide and helper with Lee Von Helm, no doubt.
Sure.
But I think there's a certain kind of way of looking at culture in a romantic way when you're maybe looking at it from the outside, especially once you step in and
right.
you still love it like that. I'm digressing, though.
No, that's good. Amazing. That's good.
That's amazing. Well, we should probably take another break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Colin Linden
yes.
here on the Music Row Show, so you come on back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Bury My Heart, featuring Eric Church, singing along with
Eric Blackie Church hadn't come in yet then.
No.
Keep that going. Keep it going.
That's the second verse. Okay.
Let's hear a little Eric, too.
It went from a blues song to a country song like that.
It's just my life.
What a great project. This, again, that's off the Kings and Kings.
Yeah,
and
we're here with Colin Linden, one of the founding members.
And it just came out today.
Yeah.
This is it.
It's fantastic.
It dropped. And this is the first thing you've done for this, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Nice. Wow, we're honored.
Oh, man, I'm so thankful you guys have me on.
Yeah. Before we get another song, I'm curious, in early 1980... You've been doing this for a while. You're kind of an artist on the verge, right? You're hopping. You got a label. You're everything's going, and all of a sudden, everything goes to new wave, and everybody wants synthesizers and MIDI instead of guitar
and people with hair,
drum machines. Yeah.
How did you adjust or evolve, or did you just keep doing what you're doing and?
Well, a little of all of it. I made my first album, my first solo album,
mm-hmm.
In 1980 when I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a live album. And it came out on a new wave label in Canada. And there was an element of that world that did embrace blues and roots music.
Right.
Which was, I was very fortunate that it happened. But after that, there was a bit of a period of time where if you weren't playing synth, if you weren't, you know, having drum machines, and if you didn't have hair like a flock of seagulls,
right,
it was a bit of a challenge. So for me, I dug deeper into becoming a sideman, which was something I always enjoyed doing. I would sit in with my friends when they would play, but I began to actually get more gigs as a sideman, and I dug deeper into the roots world, into the folk world, and into the blues community.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of felt like playing music was something I wanted to do for a life. I didn't really...
It wasn't a sprint
for
you.
There was no plan B, and it wasn't a sprint.
That's nice.
Mm.
That's nice. Well, let's get it one other... Well, should we take a break, or can we do a song?
Well, we'll have more time if we take a break. So why don't we take a quick break. A
quick little break.
And then we'll come back. We'll have more time with Colin Linden on the Music Row Show.
Nice.
So come on back.
Come and wash this whole town around with its tired golden idols and its pain. The streets I loved have turned to rust. The sons of dreamers turned to dust until sin. The game that can be fun.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Land of the Living.
Now there's a storm.
Song by Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, and that one's featuring Jason Isbell. And we actually got to hear him that time.
Oh, yeah, he starts the song.
Yeah, that's awesome. Absolutely. I love that. And we're here with Colin Linden, one of the founding members of Blackie and the Rodeo Kings.
This album just dropped today. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, everywhere you buy
Kings and Kings,
buy your music. Kings and Kings by Blackie and the Rodeo Kings. Let's get another song from you, and then we'll chat a little bit more.
Well, I was thinking this is one I've never performed before anywhere.
Nice.
But it's from the Kings and Kings record, and it's wonderful that Jeannie Seeley's here, the legendary Jeannie Seeley.
How about
Seeley's
that,
here.
Huh?
And I've gotten to see Jeannie and Gene a whole lot playing at the Opry, and almost every time I've played at the Opry, it's been with cast members from the Nashville television show, which
right.
I've worked on since the very beginning. And one of the guests on this record, Kings and Kings, is the Men of Nashville, which is Charles Esten.
Sam Palladio,
Chris Carmack, and Jonathan Jackson. So this is the song that they sing.
Okay.
All right.
And I've never actually played it by myself, but I'll think about it. Well, I'll let you know how I do. Actually, you let me know how I do after.
Fell out of this broken home, baptized and almost drowned, frozen tears on a rolling stone, sorrow running deep and down. Well, there ain't no use in crying, Mom. I'm a free man, I belong. With a little luck, I'll be ready to go where the river runs. Falling cradle from an apple tree, a sweet summer singing jubilee. The nearer your heart to me, litter down in memory. Well, crying time is coming gone, but the river keeps tolls, I'll be ready to go where the river rolls. Oh, sweet song. Oh, the joy of moving on. The joy of moving on. The sweet song. Oh, the joy of moving on. The joy of moving on. Follow me to the sea and bring me to my knees, staring out in the frozen night without a ship in sight. Well, there ain't no use in dying here where the Holy Ghost can't find me, near the banks of the shore where the river rolls. Well, there ain't no use in dying here where the Holy Ghost can't find me, near the banks of the other shore where the river rolls. Where the river rolls. Where the river rolls. Sweet song. Oh, the joy of moving on. The joy of moving on. Sweet song. Oh, joy of moving on. Joy of moving on.
Very nice. Well, since you brought up Nashville, how did you get involved with the show, and what all do you do over there for folks who don't know?
Well, I got involved because of my friendship with T-Bone Burnett and Cali Coury. T-Bone has been a great friend and mentor to me for 25 years, and has been so one of the wonderful friend to have in my life. He's led me down such incredible paths and given me such wonderful opportunities and inspired me. And when they started, when T-Bone and Callie's wife, or Callie is T-Bone's wife, and she created the show.
Right.
And when they started off, they didn't know how long it was going to go on for. They didn't know if it was going to be a pilot or if it was going to be six episodes or whatever. So they got me to come in and play guitar and on some of the recordings. And then they got me to teach the cast members how to play their parts, because they all do their own singing.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, they don't do their own playing. So they got me to come in and show them how to play the parts. And then they got me to supervise all the music shoots. And then when we started taking the show on the road, they asked me to be the band leader to do it. So I spent the first year working with T-Bone very closely. And Buddy Miller also worked really closely with T-Bone in that first year. And then the second year through the fourth year, Buddy was the executive music producer. And he very kindly and it was wonderful for me. He asked me to play on all the sessions. So I got to play on almost all of it for the first 4 years.
Wow.
And then this year there's a new executive music producer, Tim Lauer, who's great too. And I'm still doing working on it.
Look at you.
Too. So wow. I'm good very, for you.
Love that.
Well, and you know, it's crazy because to think you've been doing this since you're 11 years old, all of the different winding roads you've had. Are there ever times when you're, you know, because I was looking, I think you've pretty much played with everybody ever on the planet. So are there ever times when you're going, how did that kid get here? What, how, look who I'm with today. I mean, does that ever just sink in?
Well, I mean, I'm appreciative of all of it, and it feels somehow connected together, you know. For most of my life, I always wanted to, there were a few things that I always wanted to do, and I guess think chief among them was I always wanted to play with Bob Dylan. And then finally, about 3 years ago, I played in his band in the summer
Fantastic.
Of 2013, and that was really, really amazing for me. And that was pretty surrealistic, because opening night was in Toronto. It was in my hometown.
Oh, wow.
And it was totally by chance that my first night playing with him was Toronto. And my brother got to be there, and my sisters-in-law got to be there, and so many of my close friends were there, and it was really amazing. And they flew me in. I had no sound check, no rehearsal.
You just
got on stage,
got up and did it.
And it was a fantastic experience.
Nice. Wow. So well, thank you so much for joining us. And ColinLinden.com is your personal website.
Yep. Blackie and the Rodeo Kings.
.com is the other website. Go get that album, Kings and Kings. It's great. God bless you. Come back to the Music Row Show. We got a great hour with Jeannie Seeley coming up. So you don't want to miss that.
Hey, right.